This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Called a hero after taking out a shooter who killed three people at a mall 15 miles outside of Indianapolis. So yet another mass shooting. But I love the hero. I love the story of what he did and how he tried to help people. He was calm, cool, collected, and did shoot the shooter who had been in a bathroom for an hour, came out and started to fire away at a food court. So that's where we start. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as we go through the summer, the heat is up in many, many ways. I think this story is fascinating on many levels. Sad that anybody died, so it's not a great story that the Pinedas, a married couple, were killed simply eating dinner, unaware of what was happening, or that Victor Gomez at age 30 is now dead. But thank goodness that this Elijah Dickin, 22 years old, just there at the mall with his girlfriend, was legally carrying a gun. And after 2 minutes, I mean, boom, it happened. The shooting starts to happen. It took him 2 minutes to take out the shooter, who they identified as Jonathan Sapperman, who went into a bathroom at the Greenwood Park Mall, spent about an hour in there, and then came out and started the shooting. And there were five victims, including the three people killed by the gunman, and there were two that were injured, but I think it would have been a lot worse if he hadn't done what he did. And he was also, as he was methodically moving toward the gunman, he was also pushing people to safety. So how about that? Now, you ask questions or think about the shooter in your mind. Well, here we go again. How does this happen? What was his background? What happened with the gun? How did he get the gun? And he had no adult criminal record. He had a very minor juvenile record. It was like a fight at school and running away. He did get an eviction notice, and then this thing happened. But what is the motive? Was that the motive? Was that what pushed him? I mean, who knows? He was living at an apartment about a mile west of that mall. They did go to the apartment, and they found an oven that was blasted up on high, and inside was a laptop and a can of butane. But they're inspecting everything and trying to figure out, you know, what they can. They found a cell phone in the apartment's toilet. They're just trying to, you know, they're trying to piece it together, of course. And then it's what the witnesses see, I think, that is interesting in this case. There were a couple of people who, as everybody was looking to talk to somebody, who responded as to what they saw. And there was a man who was in the mall with his wife and four children. He heard what sounded like 20 rounds go off and said that the shots were fired rapidly and it sounded like a big gun. And they thought it was a joke. See, this is the thing. You don't know what you're hearing or seeing. They thought it was a joke, but then they saw people running. So that family is another example of they were separated in the chaos as people were flying all over the place. You know, they just move. I mean, is this going to be a thing now where we all practice active shooter drills? I say I think so. I can tell you that at some of the conventions where I've spoken in the past, that's one of the main topics. What would you do if right now somebody came in, how would you respond? But I think this story here, too, is that you had somebody who was proficient with a gun, knew what to do, was calm, cool, collected, and was able to get to the shooter. I don't know how much worse it would have been, but he is absolutely a hero for how he handled that and how he was helping people as he was thinking in his mind what he was doing to get to him, to be able to get the right shot and take him out. You know, that's one of the things that's always talked about. What if you had people and they just were just spraying bullets, not trying to hit other people, but then what if it ricochets and hits other people? And, of course, like I said, he was very, very calm in the way he approached him. All right, there's nothing calm about this Uvalde situation. And what's the situation? I mean, we know the disaster, the sickness that happened in May, just making us all beyond what we can even express. But now you have the wounds that go deeper, deeper, deeper because of the analysis that continues to happen. But it was a Texas House committee on Sunday that released the preliminary report of about 80 pages of interviews with 30 witnesses, audio, video recordings from the scene. And it's incredibly thorough, this amazing analysis, sadly, that was published about the elementary school shooting on the 24th. So even though the school and the district school police department had policies and training on how to respond to an active shooter situation, it didn't hold up in practice because of all the human error, all the things that didn't happen, the inaction. Look, Michael Brown was quoted as saying his 9-year-old son was in the school's cafeteria on the day of the shooting and survived. He said they're all cowards. It's disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. And that's my initial reaction, was that from before. So they had this crazy scenario where so many were on the scene. I mean, almost 400 law enforcement officers respond to the shooting. And they wait this unacceptable long period of time before they breach the classroom, which we knew, we heard about that. But the leadership fails that happened along the way, not doing anything, checking the boxes on paper, but not really understanding the steps or the measures, not implementing them, taking no action. You know what, we still haven't had the coroner's full report, if you think about that. Who knows what that tells us, what other things come out of that. But how chaotic, right? I think this is the really sad part. The report said it was likely, of course, most of the victims died after being shot, but it's plausible that some victims could have survived if rescued sooner, if they had that happen instead of waiting where they could have been bleeding out. So the medical examiners haven't issued that report. Once that comes out, that will tell that part of it, because they'll know more. Oh, so hard for these families. So, so hard. All right, stay with us.
Prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My by Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Saga joins us. Her book is called Drag'em, and it's interesting in why she wrote the book and what you'll learn about in the book, and specifically a character that really lifts themselves up in the end. KC, the book and getting to the point where you wrote it, what motivated you to write this book?
Hi, Al. Thanks for having me. What motivated me to write the book was my own challenge and struggles with mental health and having people around me want to come up and confront me on their experience with mental health as well, and how much my vulnerability to my struggles have helped them. So I figured by putting my experience into a story form, that could be transferable into any life experience, whether it's grieving of loss, just personal development. I figured that would be helpful, especially for the LGBT community.
What is it that people don't talk about or understand about depression?
I think there is definitely a stigma around it. Until I experienced depression, I felt like any time I was sad, I was depressed. But depression feels like you're weighted down, and it's not being lazy or just negligent. You really don't want to get up in the morning and shower. You really don't want to eat. It's not that you're being a difficult person. You don't want to participate. And you really do sometimes need that cheerleader in the background pushing you just to make sure you don't get in too deep to the depression while still supporting you and knowing where your limitations lie.
Oh, that's so well said. Knowing where your limitations lie, that, yeah, you need the cheerleader, but you don't want them to also push you too far in another direction, you know, as well. So tell us about the book and tell us about the main character.
So the book follows Callie Colomb. So she is a young, naive, 20-something-year-old woman who has been dating women. And basically what happens is she is chasing the dream of traveling. She has a lot of wanderlust. And in the book, she's starting off wanting to tour to France. But in the midst of planning her trip to France, she ends up falling in love with a complete stranger. And she also ends up taking on the responsibilities of being a homeowner. So her life as she had plotted in her head takes a complete 180, and she starts living a life that is basically foreign to her, and she starts losing herself in this life that she never saw in her future. But also because she's living this completely different life that she's always talked about, the people that care about her start questioning her and the motives of why she's changed and pulled a 180 so quickly. It was very abrupt. So people are starting to grow concerned of how things in Callie's life has just evolved so suddenly.
And it's interesting because Stragum is like a coming of age book, right? Would you describe it as that?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's Callie coming of age, because Stragum is about intuition. So Stragum is basically this internal superpower that Callie is striving to achieve again. That's something she used to have, where she just had this natural intuition of what was best for her. But she's starting to lose it now that she's off track and she's not living the life that she wanted. She's starting to live the life of what the social norms would expect, where you get married, you buy a home, you start planning for the future and having a family. But her dragon, her intuition, knows that that's not the kind of life she's meant to live.
So well said there. What are the takeaways that you'd like for the listeners to have that read your book?
I would really love the readers to, after they're done reading Dragum, sit back and be able to reflect on their achievements in terms of their experiences with mental health or their experiences with personal growth, and acknowledge and bring a celebration to the victories that they have overcome. Sometimes those small victories get overshadowed or forgotten or just completely glazed over, but they're very important in terms of finding happiness and finding a sense of self. And even people who are going through a struggle right now or a challenging time, I hope that they can see themselves in Callie's struggles through Dragon and see that there is a light or there is a way to overcome everything, because nothing is permanent. And something my mom has always told me is that the only constant thing is change. So, I would hope for that for the reader.
There you go. The name of the book, again, is Dragum. Casey Lasaga, thanks so much. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. We appreciate you joining us on the air.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Couple of quick hits before we go to the man cave. So, following Ukrainian President Zelensky's decision to suspend two top advisors over these allegations that their agencies contain collaborators and traitors, that's not good. Zelensky said he's going to do a personal audit of the security service of Ukraine, and that's happening. It's underway right now. That was part of his video address on Monday night. 28 officials, the dismissal of 28 officials being decided with Zelensky citing unsatisfactory results of work as reasons behind the decision. Meanwhile, Russia continues to advance with its missile and shelling attacks. 7 Ukraine regions have suffered attacks in the past 24 hours. At least 6 people were killed by Russian shelling Monday in the eastern part of Ukraine. The civilians, of course, have been urged to evacuate because they're getting a lot of shelling, a lot of shelling. And it just keeps on ticking. I mean, remember, this all started back in February when Putin decided to invade Ukraine, and it doesn't look like there's any end in sight. Before we go to the man cave, you know, we've got the All-Star Game in Major League Baseball coming up. Washington Nationals' Juan Soto crushed the ball in the home run derby. Actually won $1 million. He went into this thing kind of trying to shake off all these trade rumors, but he won big money with his bat, just cracking it all over the place. So a couple of quick things about that. He's 23 years old, 266 days before he turns the calendar again. So he became the second youngest Derby champion. He's just a day older than the 93 winner, who was Juan Gonzalez. And, you know, you think of, I think of the home run derby, and he hit the most 440-foot homers, 19. He hit the farthest homer, 482 feet. He's the first Dominican-born player to win since Robinson Cano in 2011, and like I said, he was the second youngest ever home run derby champion. You know, Soto had one bomb that was 482 feet. That was the tail of the tape. Wow, that's crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy. Very, 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 very talented. So good for him. Much more on who's pitching for the All-Stars, National League and American League, coming up as we crack open the door to the man cave.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The nation's top infectious disease expert sharing with CNN that he plans on retiring at some point between now and the end of the current presidential term.
I can't be in this job forever, and I don't anticipate I'll be in this job before the end, at the end of the first term of President Biden, which is January 2025.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says he was responding to a reporter's question about whether he would stay on as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He's held that title since 1984 and has been in federal service overall for 54 years. Jury selection in the contempt of Congress trial of former President Trump advisor Steve Bannon will extend into a second day. Bannon was charged after refusing to cooperate with the 1/6 House Select Committee. He says he wants to testify now. This is USA Radio News. The Texas Department of Public Safety says it will look into how dozens of state troopers and rangers responded to the school shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. The announcement comes on the heels of a scathing report released by the Texas House of Representatives over the weekend, saying that there were failures at every level which contributed to the slow and chaotic response. In South Florida, Broward County specifically, prosecutors want the death penalty for Nicholas Cruz. He's the gunman who killed 17 people at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Cruz already confessed to the murders. The trial that's expected to last several months is the penalty phase. The Mississippi abortion clinic known as the Pink House, which was at the center of the Supreme Court case, which overturned Roe v. Wade, has been sold. The owner of the Jackson Women's Health Organization says the furniture and equipment were moved to a new clinic that will open in New Mexico. The Dow was off by 216 points. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
After a disappointing tie for third at the Masters, and Aussie comes back and wins the Open. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the undeniable joy and smile of this really good guy, Cameron Smith, who was very aggressive, and he had some incredible putts that led him to the claret jug, and he became a major champion over Rory McIlroy, who was clearly the favorite. So he leapfrogged him atop the leaderboard, and the rest is history. He ends up winning the thing. Like I said, all smiles and completely psyched at what he did, where you could just see the frown of Rory McIlroy, who had an incredible showing himself. He hit every green in regulation, 2-putted all of them, 2 were birdies, the rest were pars. But that left him in third place and having to wait 9 months before he could try to end his drought in the majors that is now at 8 full years. Wow. So Smith won by one shot over Cameron Young, who holed a 15-foot eagle putt. I was watching this on the final hole to just ever so slightly, briefly, whatever you want to call it, for a moment in time, tie for the lead. But it certainly wasn't enough. And poor Rory McIlroy, like I said, he was so, so close and playing so well. But he was playing controlled golf. I mean, as I was reading something about that, that's exactly was my thoughts. But it just was not enough. I mean, just incredible what Smith was able to do. He rallied, so he gets the right to hold that silver claret jug, and with a real stunner at the Open, with the best closing round the Old Course St. Andrews had ever seen. I mean, his putter was on fire. 5 straight birdies, to take that lead, and a very crazy putt around the edge of the road hole bunker to save par, and he finished with two putts from 80 feet for birdie for an 8-under 64. If you don't know anything about golf, when I tell you those words, it sounds like you're playing miniature golf. So congratulations to him, and I know the Aussies will go crazy down under for him. He's, like I said, he's a good guy and deserved that win. We jump to another sport here in the man cave. Of course, we talk about the NFL. We always do Nail the Score. I have a book called Invade the Man Cave that's being updated right now. And as we get ready for training camps in the NFL and get ready for fantasy football and all the things that the NFL and college football bring to the table. So Ryan Switzer, a former huge standout receiver at North Carolina, had a 5-year career in the NFL. He decided to retire from football, injuries really plaguing him. He hadn't appeared in an NFL game since 2019. He made his decision and just announced it on Twitter. He spent the last two seasons in Cleveland. He was on the practice squad while battling those injuries. He spent 2 years returning kicks and punts for the Steelers. In 2018 for Pittsburgh, he caught 36 passes, 253 yards, even had a touchdown. He's a fourth-round draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys in 2017, and he was certainly, again, a standout player at North Carolina. But those injuries, being on the practice squad, he's decided to move on, a new beginning. He thanked football but said his playing days are over. He's looking forward to using his knowledge and experience that he accumulated to help the next generation of players through coaching. And he said, I promise to bring the same relentless mindset that enabled me. He's, like I said, a good guy. Had a brief conversation with him once. Couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be just more excited that he had the opportunity. But good for him that he realized, you know, what was happening there. All right, so Major League Baseball, you know, we've got the All-Star Game on tap. And so I've talked about this before. I've covered a bunch of these All-Star Games in Major League Baseball. And I think the whole experience, if you're a baseball fan, is worth it. I mean, if you're a baseball fan and you go to the All-Star Game because it's in a great place where you want to go, or your favorite players are there, or you just want to watch on the tube and dump some hours into watching an All-Star Game. Like for the NFL, the Pro Bowl, I think it's great when the players make it, but no offense, I think it's not a great game to watch. Baseball, I think a little bit different. It's definitely more exciting to me. So we already told you about the Home Run Derby, but Los Angeles Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw and Tampa Bay Rays' Shane McClanahan, they're the starting pitchers for the All-Star Game. I mean, it's a big deal. That's a big honor on Tuesday night, because this is the 92nd time this All-Star thing has taken place, and it's going to be at Dodger Stadium, like I said. So for Kershaw, it's huge. It's huge for his family. They're excited. He's excited to do it. He's a 9-time All-Star, obviously. There were a couple of other, I think, pitchers that could have been in that spot. But I think that was the right decision, absolutely. And what's really interesting is Kershaw's very first pitch will be to Shohei Ohtani, the American League starting designated hitter, who AL manager Dusty Baker said he thought about starting on the mound as well, that there was consideration for that. But he's not pitching on Tuesday. He's going to start against the Braves on Friday and the Angels' first game after the break. So this is the break time for baseball for those who are not, of course, in the All-Star Classic. But I'll be watching. It's a no-brainer. It's so much fun to watch. All right, we're in the news and notes part of the hardwoods, right, where some decisions are going to be made, and there's a lot of rumors that are churning about what could happen or extensions that are being given out. For example, how about the San Antonio Spurs? Keldon Johnson gets a 4-year, ready for this, $80 million extension. His agency announced that today. He's just 22, but he started 74 games for the Spurs in his third season, and he had a pretty good season. He averaged over 17 points. He shot 39.8% from the three-point range. So this agreement happens after the Spurs traded away their all-star guard Murray, of course, to the Hawks. And Johnson was the Spurs' first round pick in the 2019 draft. He actually went, I want to say, 29th overall. I think good for him and good for them. Probably the right move, no doubt. All right, now in tennis, I know she goes from hardwoods to tennis. Like you're first sitting here talking, you're like, wait, first we're going to the NFL, right? And then you take us through golf land, and now here we are on the tennis court. Okay, the reason I bring up tennis is because we just went through Wimbledon. It was, I think, really fun to watch what was happening at Wimbledon. I'm a tennis fan, and here's a guy that I talked to, speaking of Australians, you know, we talked about Cameron Smith winning the Open. Leighton Hewitt had the best sense of humor, has the best sense of humor, I thought, of anyone I've met in tennis. And I've interviewed lots of tennis players, and he's an Australian. So he was enshrined in the Tennis Hall of Fame. He's part of the class of 21. And he kind of paused for a moment, and he said the word easily came to mind when he was asked how he wanted to be remembered, and he said competitor in an interview with the Associated Press before he was inducted into the International Hall of Fame. So at 41, you know, here he is. He was elected as part of that class, but there was travel restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He couldn't attend the ceremony last summer. There was no one elected for 2022, so the moment was his. He's the 34th player from Australia to be inducted. And it's always a big deal. It's held on Newport's grass side courts after the semifinals of the Hall of Fame Open, and 8 Hall of Famers, including Andy Roddick, Tracy Austin, attended the event. Roddick, of course, American. Tracy Austin, American. Andy Roddick got in 2017, and Tracy Austin was, of course, in 92. But it's a big deal to be in the Tennis Hall of Fame and any sports Hall of Fame. And so congratulations to Leighton Hewitt for that they were able to celebrate it. So we got a little bit of, I think, a better feel for that anyway. And pretty interesting stuff. You know, I didn't talk about this at the top, but there's so much conversation about the Saudi-backed, you know, live events, the series of events that are happening. And what do you think? Are they the bad guys for people who accepted the money to be as part of this, you know, tour? Or are they the smart ones because who cares? They're getting the money and blah, blah, blah. Most people are not thinking that. Most people are thinking that, sure, go ahead and grab the money from the Saudis, but we won't root for you anymore. Sergio Garcia is not feeling the love. He's going to quit the DP World Tour after he joined the Saudi-funded series, saying he no longer feels that he is loved on his home European circuit, which he resigned his PGA membership to play in this series. He's going to be ineligible for future Ryder Cups if he quits the DP World Tour. And he said, I want to play where I feel loved. And right now in the European Tour, I'm not. I'm happy with what I've achieved, and I'm going to try to enjoy it. I'll play less, and I'll spend more time at home. If I can't play any more majors, that's the way it is. But it's not something that bothers me a lot. I'm feeling sad because of the Ryder Cup, but right now with the way I'm playing, I won't be selected. So the critics are just blasting so many of the players, and he's one of them, certainly. All right, on that note, we're going to close the door to the man cave. Hang with us as we wrap up this hour.
Ever
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Sierra Ice. We have Larry Nelson with us. Larry, thanks for joining us. Tell me about the road to writing Sierra Ice. How'd this all come about?
Well, I wrote Sierra Ice. You know, this is my third book. The first two books were basically instruction manuals for golfing, but the Sierra Ice, I basically wrote that as a direct result of an article I was reading in a scientific magazine regarding the manufacture of heavy equipment during World War II, heavy armament. And so I said to myself, how the heck do you think they manufactured major guns, tanks, and aircraft engines and so forth? That takes a major manufacturing industry to do that. So I looked into it, and what I came up with was the fact that this is something that most people don't know anything about. In fact, there's a few things in there that nobody knows about. The fact that World War II probably never would have transpired or taken place the way it did unless they had the kind of manufacturing equipment that was available, or not available, I say, to the basic manufacturing industry. So I looked into that, and when I got the information I was looking for, I decided, hey, this sounds like it might be a good book, so I wrote a book on it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You talk about, we start 1943. You talk about the cargo ship. You talk about that journey. You talk about that destination. You talk about what's happening on the other end. What was the most fascinating part to you in this story that you pulled together?
Well, let me give you an idea of what transpired in this whole thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As far as the book itself was concerned, the cargo ship was basically loaded at a port in Belgium, Congo. And then it was basically taken over to Cape Town, South Africa for the final journey. And the reason they did that is because they didn't want anyone to know exactly what was in that cargo. And when I got to Cape Town, they basically changed the crew entirely for the final destination, which was port in the United States. So the new cargo, including the ship's commanding officer, was not informed of what was on that ship until they were at sea after leaving Cape Town. And again, the reason again was to maintain the secrecy so nobody knew what was in the cargo holds. So along with their assigned cargo, and unknown to the ship's commanding officer or the crew, were two large sealed metal containers. When the ship reached its final destination, which was basically in San Francisco, those containers were secretly removed from the ship and transferred to an armored car. They were to be moved to a storage place in San Francisco, so they were secured properly so that nobody could get a hold of them. Now, during the transport of those containers, the armored car was forced off the road, and the crew basically was shot, and the containers were stolen. And a detailed investigation of what occurred failed to recover the containers, nor did they identify those responsible for the robbery. So what actually happened that day in November didn't come to light for 75 years later when a Stanford student who was doing research on his PhD inadvertently came across a misplaced letter in a Holocaust Museum file, which outlined the specific details of the 1943 robbery. So, curious as to whether what was in the letter was actually fact, he decided to look into it when he got home. And shortly after he started looking into it, he disappeared. Now, his parents reported him missing to the police, but they were told that their policy is on missing persons, they don't look into missing persons for a period of time because the person normally winds up coming back to where they were supposed to be. So the resulting investigation by the private detective resulted in an attempt on his life and the murder of numerous other people and other individuals who were knowledgeable of what happened on that particular day in 1943. So when he basically got into it, they found that they had a criminal organization that had been operating for 75 years. And when they finally did the final investigation, they got everybody straightened out. All these people were arrested, and the organization was taken down, and all the people that were responsible for what happened were arrested and thrown in jail. So that's basically the background in the book itself.
Wow, was it fun for you to write this story, especially after you tripped onto it by reading something and then looking into it further?
Yeah, it was, Kate, because it took me 3 years to do it, though. I was working at the time, and whenever I had a chance, I'd sit down and write it a little bit. And then when the coronavirus came around, that's when I decided it was time to finish it. But it was it took a lot of good research on what was going on, because the particular cargo that was carried across, both Germany and the United States, were in a position where if they were not able to grab a hold of what was needed to do this manufacturing, the war would come to an end. Neither Germany nor the United States would be able to continue the war. So it was something that both of them were after. And in looking at that, I got involved with Winston Churchill, I got involved with Roosevelt, and I got involved with all other kinds of people in Germany and everything else. So it was interesting that to go into it and research it.
Right, and then write the characters and turn it into a story. That's the other part of it. You have the research, but then you also have to have the ability to weave the story. And so you were able to do that. And that's different from the two manuscripts you did before, because like you said, they were on golf.
Yeah, those were two basic. Yeah, the reason I got into the golf manuscript is I was playing golf with one of my friends one day, and I gave him some advice on something he did wrong, and he said, "Well, if you're so good at golf, why don't you write a book on it?" So I did. So I wrote the left-hander's golf manual, and then after I wrote that one, I wrote the right-hander's golf manual. So both of those are, like you say, they're both available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and so forth. But this is the one that I got involved in because I couldn't figure out. You take a ship, for example, like a battleship, and you look at the guns in that ship and you wonder, how can they possibly manufacture those particular gun barrels that were so long and so thick? And that's why I think I got into it. And it did take a special type of tool to do that, which both Germany and the United States were after. And if they hadn't gotten those, World War II never would have happened.
Wow, which is just wild to think about that. What do you hope people take away from, and you're saying some of it, but what do you hope people take away from reading your novel, Sierra Ice?
Well, for anybody that reads it, I think they'll find that when they get to the end of that thing and find out exactly what was needed to make those particular armaments, that nobody really had ever told anybody how it was actually done. It was a top secret at the time the war was going on as to how it was done. And that didn't come out until after the war was over.
Yeah, so obviously that piques the curiosity, no question. So where do you go from here? First we have what you did in the golf world, and because your buddy's goading you there. Then this, a novel, I can't imagine you're done. Are you going to write something else?
Well, I have an idea for one, yeah. It's basically called The Mall Abduction. It's a story about a kidnapping at a big mall in California. And the gentleman that's the hero in the Sarah Ice book is also the one that gets involved in trying to find the person that was abducted. So yeah, that's another one I'm thinking about. I've got a few pages already written on that one.
Good for you. Well, Sierra Ice, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Larry Nelson. Good luck with the book, and thank you for coming on.
It's also at Walmart, too, Kate, too.
All right, so you can get it there, too, as well. Thanks, Larry. Wow, such an interesting tale. I love what I said to him, that he took something that was real, something a lot of people don't know, and then turned that research and what he found out and turned it into a novel to make it that much more interesting for people to read. So thanks to Larry for that interview and all of you for listening to the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.